Hello and welcome to this episode of From the Internet. My name's Ryan and today I'll be chatting to Brad Guy, who I've come to know from the internet because he is a very funny man, a very clever man, who's pretty good at making some videos and some great stuff on YouTube. He's also currently working with me at the same company, Southern Cross Austereo. He hosts the Brekkie Show at Star FM in Gippsland. Now, this is his first on-air commercial gig. And, you know, like whilst most people have to fight and work hard to get that first job, Brad did some pretty intense and pretty abstract things to get his first gig. And he still didn't get it right away. But now that he's got the job, he's doing a bloody good job of it. And I've been looking forward to chatting to him for a while. So this is Brad Guy. You can find him on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere you need to be. Enjoy this episode of From the Internet. I'm Ryan John, and this is Brad Guy. Brad, thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Ryan. I've missed you.
I've missed you too. have we? Like, when I was getting ready to do this podcast, I was thinking of us like old mates, that because I feel like we've known each other for a while, but, like, we hung out in person and stuff before?
I don't think we've ever met in real life. It's funny.
Well, so we're just, to each other, we are what the name of this podcast is just people from the internet.
Basically, this is the future. I know so many people that I've never met in real life that I would trust in front of anyone I've met in real life. So I think this is a real connection.
Do you think it's weird, or have you ever met someone in person who you feel like you've been friends with them online for a while and you meet them in person and it's just not the same?
Oh, yes and no. I actually had a scenario recently where this guy in Melbourne had been liking heaps of my Insta photos. We kind of had this Insta back and forth for ages. And we finally met in real life. And straight away, I was like, oh, you seem like your pictures. But then things start to unravel and you really get to understand what a person is like. You're like, wow, I never would have guessed that, judging by the amazing life you have through your Valencia filter.
Yeah. Well, I often find with Instagram in that sense, but for Twitter, people can be really clever and witty. But then when you meet them in person, you realize, oh, well, they've obviously put 10 or 15 minutes thought into this one tweet. They're not as quick and off the cuff in real person as they are typing on Twitter.
Yeah,
like, they're actually
so
quite boring.
More bearable.
Yeah.
In 140 characters, people can be so much less annoying.
Now, Brad, getting your first radio job, like, I say this to people, that getting National Drive or getting City Brekkie or whatever, like, the ultimate radio job is in Australia, that would be quite difficult. But I still reckon there's nothing more difficult than getting your first job. I reckon that's the hardest one to get. Now, for people that aren't aware, you did some community radio stuff and were trying to get a commercial radio gig. And I think whilst a lot of people have a lot of attempts at getting that first gig, yours were probably a lot more public or online. Is that fair to say? And can you tell people what you did for those that don't know?
It was definitely very public. I guess it was kind of what I like to call professional viral.
Yep.
And through the radio industry, it kind of did go viral. But it was 2012, I believe, and I just come back from traveling in the US, did a student exchange, finished my degree, and I was like, that's it, I want a job. And I've been making demos with good feedback, and I'm sick of not getting hired.
Yep.
And I made this video, doing what I do best, which is making videos. Mm-hmm. And it was for a breakfast job at Star FM in Dubbo. And I wore this massive placard, which I had painted, I love Star FM Dubbo, on it. And me and my mate Aiden, who films all of my Vox Pop videos, we went to the city, and I chatted to a whole bunch of people and got them to pretty much convince viewers why I should be the new breakfast guy on Star FM and Dubbo in the Melbourne CBD. Like, it's just completely far removed from Dubbo.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny. It was so good. And I can imagine of all the people that applied, they'll be like, here's my resume, here's my demo. And for you to say, here's my resume, here's my demo, and here's this awesome video I made, it worked a treat, or did it? What happened? Like, what? Obviously, you didn't end up working there. Why was that?
Oh, no, I'm still bitter about it. Don't remind me. But the thing is, like, I'm not boring. I have an adventure every single day, and I make that my mission. And as soon as I wake up, I go, cool, I want to have an adventure today.
Yeah, cool.
So that's radio to me, is waking up with something different. And I wanted to make the video because I didn't want to be another boring person that's like, here's my demo, blah, blah. Because I wanted it so bad, and I wanted to show off my skills. I can't just talk behind a big stick. I can be funny on camera, I guess, or at least me and my mum think that.
Yeah, well, I would agree with you and your mum.
Oh, thank you. You're the third. That's good.
Excellent. We'll grow. We'll get there.
I sent the video and I got a call back almost immediately, and they used it as content in their breakfast show, the existing Brekkie guys, and we had a chat to the PD, and I did like an air check with the female host, which I think was Jules at the time. She might even still be there, actually. And they said, cool, we'll let you know after I did the air check. I thought that went pretty well.
Yep.
And at the same time, I applied for a job in a station called 92.9. I think it's 92.9 in Tamworth.
Yeah.
And they were pretty keen on me as well because they saw the video.
Yeah.
They thought, well, this guy's obviously pretty enthusiastic. Didn't end up getting the Dubbo job. Went to someone else that had more experience, but they said, we'll definitely let you know if anything pops up in the future. I was pretty gutted because I went to so much effort, and the amount of people that saw that video, because it got posted to Radio Today, Radio Info, Jock's Journal, all the radio publication websites.
Yeah.
And it left so many people divided. So many people loved it. I got all this crazy feedback. I got calls from Phil Bradley. I got calls from people in Hobart, in Gold Coast, emails from people saying, I'll send you a video, great stuff. Do you have a demo? So it definitely blew me up, and a lot of people saw it and kind of put my name out there and got me on the radars, which is one of the hardest things to do on radio.
Yeah, when you go, all right, great, this is awesome, or is it kind of like, well, it is awesome, but it's only really awesome if it works and gets you a job?
Well, that's what I thought initially. I was really disappointed. Like, you'll ask my mum and dad, like, I was in the sad for about 3 or 4 days
because
what's it going to take?
Yeah.
I had a pretty slick demo. I made this video. The amount of feedback that I got from it would be enough to think, wow, this is someone you'd want to put on the air, hopefully.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out, and I accepted that, and that's fine. And I just thought, cool, let's just dust ourselves off and try again, which I did, and I made another video, just a position in styrofoam and orange, where I painted myself orange and caught trams and chatted to people in shops and just made an absolute fool of myself again. And that didn't work.
I didn't know what to do, Ryan. So what was the difference between... Because obviously Star FM Orange, Star FM Dubbo, and where you are now, Star FM Gippsland, it's all the same company. So what was different when the Gippsland job came up compared to when those other jobs came up?
It's hard to say. They are all pretty much equivalent. And I just tried so hard to get any breakfast job, and I was willing to move.
Well, I would argue that you've got the better gig. Like, in hindsight, it's worked out pretty well because Dubbo and Orange are a lot further away from Melbourne than Gippsland are. So would you say it's worked out good, or is it like, would you, if knowing what you know now, would you have been less disappointed about not getting those first jobs?
Yeah, retrospectively, everything has been absolutely perfect, and I can't believe how lucky I am that things have panned out this way. So I'm so glad that I didn't get those jobs in a way, because now I'm in the perfect position where I'm accessible to my hometown, my partner, my friends and family. And I'm in a really great market in a really great part of the world where there's great yogurt. So I really can't complain. But with the initial jobs, they for me seemed so far ago. And I really was inexperienced.
Yep.
I was just lucky that people knew who I was because I made some wanky video. But a lot of stuff happened in between the Orange job application and Gippsland. I just worked at Kiss FM a lot, which is a dance music station in Melbourne, which was above a nightclub. And we used to get there at 6 a.m. and do our own breakfast show. Pretty much, that was Tuesday to Friday. And I was driving from Wallen, where my parents lived, which was about an hour out of the city.
Yeah,
so I drive an hour at some ridiculous o'clock time period in the morning.
Yeah.
Do a breakfast show, all pro bono, all free. We did photo shoots. We ran our own Facebook page. We did it really legit, just try to really build ourselves up and fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
And I did that until I got a job at Nova. I was a digital content producer for Hughes and Kate,
yep,
which was really fun. I did that for a month and then broke my spine. So I was out of action. Well, I broke my spine, a whole bunch of other stuff kind of happened. So that
hang on, there's so many things you've said in the last three sentences that I need to ask more questions.
Sorry.
First of all, let's talk about the Nova job.
Yeah.
Right. Because you seem like a really creative bloke with heaps. I'm sure you have infinite ideas. It's more about how much time do I have to make them.
Yeah.
What's it like working for, well, I say, you know, for Husey and Kate, because it's not like you coming in going, I've got this great idea for me and I want to go make it, and then you just put everything into it. Is it really weird suddenly, you know, you're kind of making it for someone else, or did you get to bring up ideas, or how did that work?
Well, the thing was, I was sending my demos everywhere, doing the Kiss FM breakfast stuff, and I had a chat to Mike Cass, who was a PD at Nova at the time, and he knew I was doing all this online stuff, and I had a chat to the head of online for DMG, as they were known at the time, and she got me the gig, and I went in there knowing that I love making digital content, love doing stuff online. It's what I'm trained at. It's what I'm good at.
Yep.
It's what I still do now. But deep down, I wanted to be on air. I wanted to entertain people.
Yep.
And before I got the job, before they said, you have the job, Mike said to me, will you do this job knowing that your dream is to be on air and this is not an on-air role? And I paused and I said, yep, let's do it. Because I just wanted to get in the building and I knew that it was a great opportunity to work for Houston and Kate, my favorite show, Nova, one of my favorite brands.
Yep.
And I was only there a very short time. I was there for a month. And I did find after a couple of weeks that I did want to put my own brand into it. I wanted to put my own flavor into it. And I don't think I was there long enough to really do that, to really add more of my own style. And I think had I been there any longer, I probably would have started to feel a bit burned out that I wasn't getting that chance to be entertained. And I wouldn't have had that chance to learn how to be on air or to panel because I was so busy doing my primary job as a digital content producer. So for me to be able to move from doing that to being on air was pretty much non-existent, wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, what do you think about, because young people would hear it all the time, and us young, like we're both in our 20s, I feel weird saying them young people, but you'll often hear that, like, oh, you just got to get your foot in the door, you just got to get in the building, and like, you would have been told that, and when that job came up, you would have told them whatever they wanted to hear, and because I used to work at Nova as well on the street team. And I was the same. And I was like, oh, I just got to get my foot in the door. And like, I hated work. I didn't hate it, but just like, I don't know, it wasn't fun. Like just standing on the street, there's some good ones and some bad ones when you're on the street team. And after a while, kind of what you're saying, I was like, I don't feel like I'm any closer to them teaching me to panel or being on air or producing a show. Like, I was just like, this whole foot in the door business, I just didn't buy it. I didn't think that anymore was a legit way in. What do you think about that if young people at uni were to ask you now?
I completely agree. I think for me, like being on air was the goal, and being a digital content producer, it brought me closer. There are a lot of positives from it. I've got great mates at Nova that I could potentially use to propel my career even further now. So lots of positives from it that helped me with on air. But in a way, it was kind of a lateral step. I did get somewhere, and it was a great job, great money, great location, great people, but deep down, it's not what I really wanted to do. So yes, getting your foot in the door has massive positives, or it can, depending on how you use it. But if you're getting your foot in the door as a janitor, but you want to be a producer, it's going to be very hard to transfer in between. You do hear stories of, oh yeah, I was on the street team, and now I'm Whipper, and I do Sydney Breakfast, or whatever, for example. It can happen. But it's not the be-all or end-all. Like, to just get your foot in the door just seems almost too basic because you really just want them to know who you are. Maybe make a video. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's not always the best way to go about it.
Yeah. Now, you're great at making videos. I'm not just saying that because you're on the podcast and I want to be nice because you're giving me your time for free. They're great. They're tight. They're funny. And they're definitely unique. Now, do you consider yourself like a YouTuber? What does that even really mean? Or is this like an extension of your radio? Or how does that fit when someone sort of goes, oh, so Brad, who are you? What do you want to do? Like, how does that fit into what you're doing, the videos and stuff?
I make videos as a hobby. I love making videos, and it's just something I'm truly passionate about. And there's a few reasons why I do it. I do it for my career as well, because I'd love for people to notice me and to build up my own brand and to entertain people. That's truly what I was put on earth to do, I believe.
Yep.
And it's what I'm good at. So in my downtime outside of radio, I make videos, and it's pretty much radio, but visually. Like, you'll probably notice, being trained in radio, my videos are a lot like talk breaks. You know, you've got your headline and your intro and then your outro and a really strong punchline to finish on, for example. So they're really, the
part. It just occurred to me when you said you're trained in radio and then said all of those things that I've never really heard, that I'm not trained in radio.
Really? Maybe that's just me making it up. I haven't been in the job that long.
It makes sense when you say it, but I just went, I'm not really trained.
You can never be trained in radio, that's the thing.
Yeah, it's weird.
An oxymoron.
Well, I have an honours degree in finance, like we said off air, and then I worked at the first station I worked at, every other person had been to afters except me. And so I was just very aware of how much I didn't know. But then looking back on it, all those other people all sounded like people that just went to afters, and I sounded like me.
Isn't that strange? When I got to the Gippsland job, my boss was like, oh, that was a good rave. I'm like, are we talking about what I went to on the weekend?
It was, mate. It was great. And I was fucked.
Exactly. Like, okay, I did get plastered, but I'm not going to talk about this in a professional setting.
But back to the making the videos, do you think they'll ever, and obviously it is for some people, but would you like to be the guy who does that and only that full time, or do you like the radio as well, or is it one to help the other, or how do you see that sort of fitting together?
I do. Well, I consider myself a YouTuber because I make videos, but if that became a career,
yep,
then that would be a dream come true. I think that would be the most amazing thing ever. I see these other YouTubers who have been making videos for ages and they're making money and they go to events and they're little like YouTube celebrities, and I would love that. And I would love to build up enough of a fan base. I don't have to be big. I don't really care about fame, whatever.
Yeah, but you need enough to pay the bills and justify the time you put into it.
But even if there's no money out of it, even though it's just a regular fan base of people that really get a kick out of it, and when I've spoken to mates or my mum or even mates of mates, people that don't really know me, who have seen my videos and have said, oh, that was funny how you did this, and even just what you were saying before, how you think I'm good at them, that makes me so happy that I can entertain people. So I take YouTube so seriously because I think it's just untapped potential. That's the future. I don't watch TV anymore. I go through my subscriptions on YouTube, and I really just want to hone in on that and just do it for fun. And if I can make something out of it, it's almost like an online portfolio.
Yeah.
You know, I've got big dreams, whether it's radio, whether it's TV, or whether it's
I guess what I'm getting at is, what would you prefer? Like, if you were to sit here in crystal ball and I say, what is your absolute dream? Would it be, you know, the YouTube boosts your profile so you get that radio job? Or is it more like, well, if I can just YouTube, then that would be... Because you do, like, I haven't heard lots of your... Like, lots and lots of your radio, because we're on at the same time. But I've seen lots of your videos, and they're legit. Like, they don't have necessarily the bazillions of views that some people do, but I don't think they're any less quality.
Yeah, thank you. What would I prefer to do? I guess that's the kind of thing I'm dealing with doing radio here, having this little mini existential crisis, because...
What makes you feel any better? Every single person in regional radio asks themselves every single day, what the fuck am I doing with my life? So if that makes you feel any better, everyone's the same.
Like, I'll be midwife read about some sort of cow export business, and I'm thinking, this is what it's become, Brad. You were literally talking about cow shit.
Yeah.
But in terms of what I'd rather do, like, I know what my ultimate dream job is, and I do... pretty much everything in my life, hopefully leading towards that. And I've got it written on my wall that I look at every single day. And that, for me, is my ultimate goal. And right now, I'm just trying to put the wheels in motion and just building myself up so I can make those opportunities.
What exactly does it say on your wall?
Oh, I don't know if I should say. You might think it's really cheesy.
Well, you don't have to say if you don't want to, but I won't think it's cheesy.
Okay. I'll say it. So when I moved to this new town when I was 18, closer to Melbourne, it's the first time we ever got Foxtel, because we didn't have that much money growing up. So Foxtel was like, ooh, a luxury. And
yeah, we got the first 3 months free, and Mum was like, Ryan, I'm just going to milk him for the free offer. We are not getting this full time, because we were the same. We had it for the 3 months, and then we gave it back.
Yeah, don't leave the house for 3 months. We're just going to leave it on Lifestyle U.
Yeah.
And watch Trini and Susanna's Undress the Nation. That's all we're going to do for 3 months, right?
Yeah, so you get to this new town, you're watching Foxtel.
Yeah, so it's on MTV, and I've always been obsessed with the MTV brand, just its ironic look on pop culture. And there was a show, what year was it? It would have been like 2008, 2009 or something. And Darren McMullen, who hosts The Voice, was hosting a show called The Lair. And it was a live music show, and he gets to chat to famous people, and he was in the mosh pit. Just looked really, really fun. And I'd always been obsessed with TV presenters, but it was that moment when I first saw it on Foxtel, I was like, I want to be a VJ on MTV.
Yeah.
It's not really a job that kind of exists. Like, they don't do VJ searches anymore, and the way MTV has changed from the late 2000s, completely different. It's all just
Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Teen mums now.
Yeah.
And that is my ultimate dream, or Channel V VJ, but mainly, if it exists, I want to be an MTV VJ. And I say it out loud to myself every day, because that's how much I want it.
Yeah, cool. And do you think, like you said, do you think that job still exists? Because like you said, music channels don't often have music presenters anymore. They either play music, or they just call themselves a music channel and they play other shit.
Well, that's the thing. If it exists or not, I still want it, thank you. I'd still leave it on my wall, because that's the ultimate. It's what I want to really obtain and have tangible in my hands. I want to be an MTV VJ. And I can have that type of job, I guess, in a different capacity. It could be a different channel, or it could be something that's completely online, or it could be I make YouTube videos with musicians, I'm interviewing people, I'm going to events, but I've got that fan base. I think my dream is to be on television, and as corny as it sounds, if I dream it, it will happen. So I'm a real big believer in manifesting your own destiny.
Yep.
So, and if it doesn't happen, so be it. I'll be dead. Who cares? Yep. But while I'm alive right now, that's my ultimate dream. I want it.
Yeah, cool. Now, that's awesome. And it just occurred to me, just hearing you talk about that, you know that new show on our network, the YouTube Hits?
Yes.
When that came out, did you kind of have a, oh, shit, like, that's my show, that's me? Or do you think it's a bit strange? Because I know I've spoken to some people and they're kind of like, well, they should have got YouTubers to be the hosts of that. And then it only just occurred to me that someone like you, who has radio experience now and knows the thing about YouTube, might have been the perfect fit for that.
I sent some emails around, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I saw that and I'm like, who are we doing? This is absolutely perfect. It's a really perfect job for me. And I sent a few emails around just saying, oh, I really want to get involved in the show. I just want to learn more about it. Who's the producer? Can I sit in? Can I watch? And I said, if they're on summer, if they take survey break, am I a potential slot in? Or what can I do to get my fingers in this pie? I'm a real proactive person. If I want something, I'm just going to ask you if I can have it. Where some people in radio or any career will be like, oh, that's a cool job, I'd love to do that, but I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to sit here and...
But I think your resume and sort of portfolio and body of work speaks for itself in that that's your gig. Like, why would they... How could they not sort of at least, you know, reply to your email?
Yeah, no, they did reply, and that's the thing. It's almost like they didn't say it, but really, Marty and Michael have a profile pre-YouTube Hits, you know what I mean? So, and just say if they were ever to leave, hopefully I'm on the radars enough where they would think, oh, Brad is perfect. He used to make digital content as a career, and he's a YouTuber, and he's worked in radio, and he sometimes brings cookies to work. Like, he's just
what a guy.
What I hope to think. Exactly. So that's what I would hope to think, is that they would see someone like me and I can just slot in. You've got to be on the radars.
Yeah. Now, Facebook, you obviously have your own page, YouTube channel. What works best for you? Do you use Instagram just as Instagram, or do you use that to promote your YouTube and Facebook stuff? Are you on Snapchat? What things do you use and what works best for you?
I'm pretty much on everything. I use them all a little bit differently. I think Instagram for me is a bit more self-expressive.
Yep.
It's not so career-oriented. So, you know, there might be the occasional selfie, or there might be some cool art that I saw. Facebook is pretty much purely YouTube stuff, and it's where I post my other little gag videos that I just film with my phone, me wearing wigs, dancing around the house.
Yep.
And Twitter is pretty much just my ramblings. Like, I use them all differently, and I've only really just gotten into Snapchat. It used to be just, you know, my friends that I'd have on there. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start plugging my Snapchat, and now I've got random people from all around the world. Not like there's a lot, it's probably like 10.
Yeah.
But I've really started using that as a resource for content.
Yeah, I don't pride myself, but like, people often go, oh, Ryan, you know, you do some social media bits and pieces, and I'm like, yeah, it's part of my job. But being honest, I have Snapchat, but I rarely use it, and I have no idea how it works. And I'm actually on my phone right now. When you say people are following you, how would I even know who's following me on Snapchat? This probably shouldn't be on my podcast. This is me just trying to learn something.
We'll cut this out. I'm trying to visualize it because I'm on my phone now. The little ghost icon at the top, you can like swipe it down and you'll see the ghost icon that you can scan to add people. And then it should have a link that says added me, or people that have added you. And that'll be all your contacts. And there's some in there that either have a tick next to them or some that don't, that you are ready to accept, like a friend request.
Oh, righto.
I think that's how it works. But I thought, like, can't I just post stuff on Snapchat without having to see other people's snaps? Like, but no, I have to see.
I don't care about anyone else. I just want them to see my stuff.
Yeah, that's like, I'm the star guy. No, that sounds really vain. Yeah. But I love Snapchat. It's funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have some great times on it, but I think, like, similar to what you were saying, that it was just, I just send my mate stuff and then send me stuff, and I didn't really see it as a, I don't know, a making content for the masses type thing.
Yeah, neither.
But I guess times are changing. Now, doing the show with Amanda, and I guess it's hard for you to compare, but like, do you kind of appreciate that you've been able to do a show with someone you've already known and worked with for years? Like, it must be convenient when you started the show on Star FM, you weren't starting from the start, so to speak.
Yeah, I guess it's a double-edged sword. It's good and bad because we do have this great friendship. We're great mates. We've known each other for nearly 5 years doing radio together. She's pretty much been my only co-host. I've done a couple shows here and there with other people, but she's been the primary for 4 years.
Yep.
And coming into it, it was really good because we had similar feelings. Oh, we're moving away and it's a brand new job. It's a big step from Kiss FM, what we're doing before. So a lot of similar feelings. And it's so awesome to have someone like Mandy who's on the same wavelength as me. And we just have the same sick sense of humor. So we get along great. We laugh so much in the studio, which is good when we're having a bad day, when we've just worked 12 hours and feel like we've achieved nothing, that we can just tell a poop joke and laugh. So it's great that we do have that friendship, and I'm so lucky that I was able to go into it with someone like her. So I really am proud that we've been able to maintain this friendship. It does have its up and downs because...
Yeah, what are the downsides?
I think being such a small department, pretty much the content department is me and her.
Yeah.
And it makes the collaboration process sometimes a bit stifled because we're not getting feedback from anyone else in the department or the station or the network a lot of the time. So we kind of get stuck in our own bubble and we really just doubt ourselves. And sometimes when you work so closely with someone, and it's happened, like I might have a really bad day or she might really have a bad day, that it kind of... It's a little bit contagious.
And yeah,
you really are just stuck in your own little bubble, as you would know working at tiny stations, is you really have to rely on each other. And sometimes when you're both in a funk, you've got no one to really like lift you up.
And how honest, like obviously you guys have known each other as friends for a very long time. Are you able to be pretty honest with each other? And like if you come up with an idea, will she just go, nah, not funny? Or are you supportive of each other? Or have you found that right balance of, I want to support you, but I don't also want you to let you put something shit on the air? Like, how's that work out?
Mm. I think we are honest with each other. I don't think there's ever been an idea where I will come up with something and we do that exactly as I've said it.
Yep.
We really collaborate. So I might say, here's this idea. She'll go, yeah, cool. Maybe we can add this. And I'll be like, yeah, let's do it. Or maybe not, or whatever. So everything is always a product of Brad and Mandy.
Yeah.
But when it comes to things we do together, like if she has a talk break about something, like her mum made pasta or something, I don't say I don't like it. I just let her do whatever because she's funny and I trust her. And
yeah, cool.
It does take an element of trust. Because when it comes to our individual talk breaks and content that's curated by ourselves, that's pretty individual. But when it comes to stuff we do together, like it's a comp or we're making a video, that's a really collaborative process.
You were saying, like, obviously you've worked on other stations and you've worked with her before. Is it sometimes hard because you probably already know all of her stories?
Well, we always surprise each other. I think we're so lucky. And one comment we get a lot is about our banter, like from our boss, Aaron, who's our content director or anyone higher up in the network. They're always like, oh, good banter. And we're like, but that's just us. We weren't even trying to sound like we get along. We were just being Brad and Mandy as if we're friends. It's really unscripted.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, sometimes that always is the best moments, though. Like, sometimes I think a lot of people put a bit too much emphasis on getting the script right and nailing the punchline, and there's nothing funnier than that stuff that's off the cuff, and it's kind of frustrating because you can't plan it.
Yeah, that's the thing. We had this period where we told each other exactly how we wanted the break to go, pretty much swapped notes, and you'd get to the punchline, it's like, haha, when what you'd really want or deserve is, oh my God, haha, and then hit Calvin Harris or something.
Yeah, here's Katy Perry.
So, and now we're just a bit more secretive, so we try and keep the reactions really, really honest, which can be good and bad, because sometimes the honest reaction is, haha, or sometimes it could be great, but we have really different working styles, which is also really interesting. The way we develop our breaks and deliver them and the way we go about presenting our ideas on air, so different.
Does that make it, that would make it interesting and good though, right? Or just the way you go about it, sometimes it's tricky to figure out what the other one's on about.
A little bit. I think, like, Mandy, like, I'm prepared, like, almost, like, crazy prepared. Like, tomorrow for me was done Thursday night. I want to talk about this and this. Where Mandy's a bit more flexible. So we can work really well together because I kind of, like, for me to feel okay about what I'm doing, I need heaps of time to, like, ingest it, where Mandy might prefer to be a bit more ad-lib and to have something fresh in her mind. So those two things, and as you'll know, when delivering breaks, like, you can have it written down and you can kind of deliver it that way, or you can just do it off the top of your mind. And that just makes for really refreshing radio each morning because we're familiar with each other's working styles, but the way they work together is just this weird mesh of content, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, and I think it's important to have the balance and difference and stuff. And I think I've, hearing what you say there, I actually remember Hamish and Andy saying something like in the first few years that when they did nights and weekends and stuff, is that they used to plan everything and it just became boring because they already, at the start of the show, they already knew what was going to happen for the whole show and there was no excitement. And when they weren't excited, you could hear it. And now they almost plan half a show each with the producers and then present it to the other one. So they're always hearing it fresh.
And that's what you want. You want that genuine reaction because I think radio's been, it's about being a real person and real people have real honest reactions the first time. They're not rehearsed or anything. So that's something we try and pride ourselves on, is that because we are such great friends, we just trust each other that the break will go fine.
Yeah.
And we really want that genuine reaction because we know that just makes for really entertaining radio.
How long, or I don't know if you gave yourself an amount of time, but I know you guys both have partners. They both live in Melbourne, is that right?
Yeah.
So that would make it a little bit tricky. And obviously, when a lot of people move to the regional, they sort of think, I'm going to do it for this many years. Do you have a plan? So far, it depends on, obviously, it's hard to plan because you don't know what's going to happen. This industry's crazy. but do you have thoughts of sort of like what's next?
Yes and no. I gave myself a general time frame, but not of when, okay, if I haven't got anything by this date, I will leave. It's more if, let's see how I'm feeling by X date and if my heart's not in it anymore or if I feel like there's better opportunities elsewhere, let's leave. So I think I've got like reassessment points. I'm coming up to 1 year and I think I'll have a real deep think about how I've progressed and whether I think this is the right move for me. And I'm having so much fun, so I doubt that I would leave because I've really got nothing to go to.
It makes a big difference when well, I could just be an accountant and then I go, oh, no, that's fine, I'll stay.
Yeah, exactly. You'd do anything but. So it's nearly 1 year and I think also at the end of the year I'll just reassess again because it's a nice, clean time period. You start the year fresh and you've got holidays and that sort of thing. I think the big thing was also after last Christmas holidays, because we're forced to take leave, how you come back to a job that really dictates how you feel about it. And coming back in January, I was super pumped. I was like, let's get back into it. There's so many great ideas. I love waking up at 4:30. This is excellent. And I really want that adrenaline rush every day. Like, I never struggle to get out of bed because I just love getting behind the microphone and talking. So until that desire fades away, I guess I'll be in it for as long as I can. But like you said about having partners at home and my family living a couple of hours away, it is really hard. Especially when, it's like earlier in this year, my partner was going through something pretty heavy for about 4 or 5 months and I couldn't be there. I was here and could only visit on weekends and even some weekends had to spend here. So we're going very often 2 to 3 weeks without seeing each other. So that was really tough. And that's only something we're really starting to rebuild now.
Yeah, right.
So it's time periods like that can really make you doubt what you're doing. And I seriously considered leaving because I was like, I just feel so bad that I can't support someone that needs me because I'm here in my career and you kind of feel selfish. And then you see other people in regional radio, like us, I look at your story and I'm like, wow, Ryan's been able to move around all across the country for a lot longer than I have. And he's been able to do it. That means I should be able to do it. Like, I need to persevere and know that the sacrifice is for the greater good, but it
Like I was saying to you before, I feel like every person in regional radio quite regularly will be going, what the hell? And it's really strange that that for you to say that, because then I go, oh no, that's not the case. It's actually quite difficult.
It is.
And I know that I am sick of moving. A lot of people are like, oh, it's so great, you get to move around. I'm like, no, it's not. Moving house is a fucking hassle. It's not, and it's annoying, and it's expensive.
And especially where you move from Toowoomba to Bunbury, that's a massive move.
Yeah, it is a massive, it's literally like, because when I first got this job, I was like, I Googled how long it would take to drive. Like, I obviously flew in the end, but to drive was 47 hours or something, like just something ridiculous. And I was like, oh, I don't think that's going to happen. Luckily, the company paid for me to put all my stuff on a truck and it met me over here and stuff. But no, it's definitely pretty tough moving around and stuff. And I think what you just said then in terms of at the end of a holidays, that's a really good tester. Because I know, well, for me, it's jumping on a plane to fly to the other side of the country, because I'm from Melbourne and I, you know, go and see my family in Melbourne at Christmas. And I know that this year I got on the plane, and literally on the plane, by the time I landed in Perth, I'd written sort of 10 or 15 big ideas. And by the time I landed, I was like, all right, let's do this. But I know it'd be quite easy to get to the airport and go, oh, back again. Like,
yeah,
it's a really good, and that's, I'd never really thought the importance of that, but I guess that is a really good sign. And I guess for me, if I was going to the airport going, oh shit, here we go, if you're getting in the car, that's a pretty good sign that you're probably done or you need a change.
Yeah, exactly. I think you just really got to be self-aware, and I don't understand how people can work in jobs that they hate. Like, obviously there's heaps of circumstances that go into it, but as soon as that day comes where I'm feeling burnt out, like, I question radio every single day. I question why I'm here mid-talk break.
I said there's nothing... I always use the word showbiz at a Harvey Norman OB, because it is quite easy to get ahead of yourself in a small town and then be like, oh, hang on, Ryan. Just wind it right back here, showbiz champ.
Yeah, like, people don't even know who I am, which I kind of love, because people would think, ooh, radio, ooh, celebrity, what a glamorous industry, but no one knows who I am in Gippsland. Like, kids and gay guys love me. Everyone else wouldn't have fucking
clue
who
caught,
I am.
Yeah.
But I do question it a lot, because you can work 10, 11, 12-hour days like we do regularly. And I do work at home. I prep for about maybe like an hour or 2 hours, depending on how much work I have to do at home, and then wake up the next day and go to radio. So while I'm here, it's pretty much nonstop. And it's hard to get that recognition and that reward for your hard work when you're at such a small station in such a small bubble, and the big wigs will only hear something once every 2 weeks if you're lucky to kind of impress them. So you got to be proactive and use this platform as much as you can. And that's why I make the videos as well, because I've got the spare time. Why not try and build up my fan base and put all the eggs in this basket and see how far we can get?
All right, I got two more questions. First of all, when I Googled your name and found a Facebook page called That Brad Guy and it's not you, is that really annoying?
It is freaking annoying from a marketing perspective, because a couple of years ago when I wanted to start doing radio and have my own Facebook page, that was going to be my branding, my Instagram, my Twitter, everything would have been at That Brad Guy. And it's so annoying because now I'm Brad J Guy, which is hard to say in conversation, because is it J, the letter, or is it J-A-Y? Did he just say something in Swedish? I can't even understand him. It's just so, so annoying, but that's just life. That's showbiz, man.
I tell you what really annoys me is that Ryan John on Instagram, it's some guy that's taken like 3 photos 10 years ago and hasn't used it since, but I can't. So I have to be Ryan.John?
Yeah,
and it kills me so bad, because I'm like, I just want my name and this guy's not even fucking using it. And I'm like, how do I get it? And I've like Googled all these things and they're like, well, you can't, like, it's his, like, you can't do anything. And I'm like, God damn it. If only I could just go and knock on his door and go, hey, champ, I'll swap you.
I've got a funny thing for your podcast listeners. Your name isn't Ryan John.
John's my middle name.
Ah, there we go. So what's the showbiz decision? Like, is that just purely for seeing your name in lights? You'd prefer to be called Ryan John?
No, there's actually multiple reasons, and I think you'll guess one of them when I tell you what my last name is. Do you know what my last name is?
Yeah, I got you on Facey.
What's my last name?
Dunn?
Yeah, so Ryan Dunn.
I like that name.
Ryan Dunn is like one of the main guys from Jackass.
Oh, that, yes. They're the guy that passed away.
Yeah. Yep, and yeah, can I tell you, the day he passed away, I woke up, I was having a cup of tea and breakfast before I went to work, and trending on Twitter was, "Rest in peace, Ryan Dunn." And that was the most terrifying, because it took me a minute to click that it was the guy from Jackass, but that is terrifying, because I was like, but I'm reading this, so I'm obviously not...
Imagine waking up and questioning your own mortality.
Yep.
That's such a mindfuck.
Yeah, so a bit of a... But mainly the reason why my name's Ryan John, and it doesn't actually matter anymore, but there was a time where I was working in finance, and some of my clients were literally billionaires. Like, I was managing these sort of high net worth accounts and stuff. And on the weekend was working at Nova and Sin and doing dumb things. And I just needed to separate it in case I got Googled. So when I was at finance, I was Ryan Dunn. And when I was on the radio, I was Ryan John. Because would you trust some kid doing your taxes of your billionaire company if you Googled him and saw him wearing a pink tutu running an aerobics class for Fox FM? Like, it just didn't seem right. So I needed to, like, separate my two lives, which were very different from each other. And I did that by just changing my name. And you know how a lot of people have a different name on Facebook just in case they apply for a job and you don't want drunk photos turning up? Well, that's how... It was just one of those ones. And then after a while, I kind of feel like it's too late now to change back.
Oh, you've got your brand sorted.
Yeah, but it's not my name, so I wouldn't say it's sorted.
Yeah, you're in too deep now. You can't go back.
Well, that's the thing, and I feel really bad because, like, I don't have the same last name as my parents anymore. So my mum's like, "Oh, my kid's on the radio," and they go, "Oh, who?" And she goes, "Ryan John." And they go, "But that's not his name." Like, I don't know. It's a bit awkward. I wish I had my original name back, but like I think you said, I'm in too deep.
I love it. It's very showbiz. I wish I had...
It's not showbiz. It was so I didn't get fired from an accounting firm, which is the most least showbiz sentence you can ever say.
No, just take it. Just say it was clearly for showbiz.
Showbiz.
I just wanted to sound a bit more glitzy and glamorous.
Showbiz, guys. Hey, last
question. Brad's a boring name. Well, sorry.
I wouldn't say you got a boring name. Do you say Brad Guy is a... Do you have two first names?
Yeah, people don't say that too often.
But is it technically? Yeah, you could probably say it is.
Yeah, I'd say Guy is a first name, but I like how my name's really short, and I hope it stands out. But I've considered, like, changing it and giving myself a nickname, but, like, I'm in too deep now. My name's etched on our Styrofoam Facebook page. I can't just Photoshop it. I can't lie to people. But I wish it was more exciting just, yeah, for showbiz purposes, like Banjo or Dizzy or something like that. Mandy myself joke all the time.
It's so 80s, yeah. Though.
It is. I just
every radio person's got a nickname.
Like, we joke around and we pretend that we're, like, this really over-the-top, disgusting, like, Kyle and Jackie-esque radio show. And we're like, "Jokes and TJ in the morning." Just completely over-the-top.
Rosie and I have a show called The Rai Rai and Roro Show, and it's based in China. It's a Chinese show.
Okay.
Because of the, "Hey, Rai Rai, yes, Roro." And it's, like, this really over-the-top, crazy Asian, like a Japanese TV game show, but on radio. And we often act that out during the songs, and then it actually made it on air once, which was fun for us, but I'm sure everyone listening were just like, "What the fuck is this?"
Got a perfect little splash of racism. I love it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's never a good joke unless it's slightly racist. That's what my loose uncle Larry always taught me, so I'll just stick with that.
It's good to hate all races equally.
Yeah, well, that's the most equal thing one can do. Now, Brad, final question. What would you tell 18-year-old Brad, who was just thinking about what uni course to study or what he wanted to do with his life? What advice would you give?
That's such a loaded question. I guess I've got two answers. I've got a practical answer, as in what you should actually do, and also a real philosophical answer. 18-year-old Brad, how much time do you have? I was such a different person. Like, I wasn't even out of the closet then. Like, just things are so different. But what I would say is, be true to yourself. Don't change yourself for anyone, because it's not worth it. And what is ahead of you can be more amazing if you just be more self-aware and realize that changing yourself for anyone isn't going to make you happier. It's not going to make you progress more in your career or do better at your studies. Just be Brad Guy, because people like you like that, and you like you, and you like your own company. But if I had to give, like, practical advice, I'd say start promoting yourself now. Start making YouTube videos now, because the YouTubers that are making money and making careers, or even people on TV and radio, they've been doing it for so long, and you see these freaks that are 19, 20, and they've got these empires already because they've just been doing it for so long. So I'd say start documenting your life online. Start doing stuff.
Yeah.
Like, nothing's going to come to you. Be proactive. Buy a camera. Make videos. Make demos. Send them out to people. Do it now. Don't wait until uni's over. There's no time to waste.
Yeah, and I personally think that sort of thing all the time, because I don't think I'd ever been in a radio studio until I was 24.
Mm.
And, like, that's still really young when you look at, like, how long life is. But, like, I see, like you said, these 19-year-olds, I'm like, you little fuckers. Like, if only I had known that I could have just done it instead of just waiting around and wasting a hex debt on a finance degree. That would have been really convenient.
How old are you now?
I just turned 28. Which was it's a good age. It was quite sad that I thought I'd be cool enough to die at 27 and be in that club. And then, like, I got real loose the night before I turned 28 and was like, well, if I secretly get drunk and fall off a balcony, I'll be one of those cool guys. But I didn't.
27 club.
I went home and survived. But yeah, like, so I said, it's I'm still relatively young, but I often see these young upstarts and I go, dang, I'm jealous. I wish I'd have thought of this earlier.
I know. Noah's just really good looking and always have amazing voices. And it's like, well, what am I? I'm just a 23-year-old that sounds like a pack-a-day smoking drag queen. So unfair.
You're only 23.
Yeah, I'll be 24 in a couple of weeks.
Oh, so you're one of these young punk upstarts that I'm talking about. And I wish you could see how aggressively I'm pointing my finger at the phone right now.
It's weird, because I've looked the same for maybe the past 3 years. I look about 30. People think I'm 30 all the freaking time.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, though?
It'll be good if I maybe plateau with my appearance for the next 15 years or so.
Like, yeah, if you can just hold what you've got now for a while, you'll survive on that.
But that's not going to happen. I'm already trying to cover my receding hairline. I think looking older is good because I might seem more mature, but then... It'll be bad because then when I'm 30, am I going to look like 40 or 50? But who cares? It's about what's in your heart, not what's on your face.
Let's end on that beautiful, beautiful note.
Yay!